Ryan Seacrest here. Every great barbecue has one secret ingredient. Patience. You do a little, and you wait a little. And while your dinner does its thing, you got a few minutes to yourself, right? Well, kick back with a little Chumba Casino. A flip and a spin. Who knows? Maybe even a login bonus. It is the perfect recipe. Chumba Casino. Always good to have you back.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Fourth and final hour. Darren, Donick, and Chase here on ESPN 102.5. The game on this rainy Wednesday afternoon. Hope everybody's having a good day to this point. We, at this time on Wednesday, say hello to Chris Mason, who is now on the line with us. Former Predator goaltender, now Willie's partner in the television booth on Fox Sports Tennessee. Chris, one thing you like, one thing you don't like about the NFL, or NFLs, Gary Bettman's NHL 24-team plan for the return. What did you? One thing you liked, one thing you didn't like.
Well, I honestly like the fact that they're going to try to play the game, and I think that they're doing the best they can. They're taking this precautious approach to this, which obviously you know they're going to do. I think the one thing I don't like, but I understand that they're trying to get as many teams involved and to try to figure out a way to best do this. There's no perfect answer, so there's nothing I really hate or anything like that, or I'm not one of those guys that says, the integrity of the game and all this type of things, given the circumstances. But I don't love the fact that, you know, the team that's, let's say, 12th, if they get hot and coming back from this, and they could go on a long run when, you know, realistically they wouldn't have even made the playoffs. So that's kind of the one thing I would say that I don't love about it, but I understand, you know, they're doing the best that they can to try to make this work, get players back on the ice, and try to make as many people happy as possible. But if I were to pick one thing, that would probably be it.
It's up to Pittsburgh and Edmonton to take care of business then. That's
yep.
The way I look at it. Were you surprised Nashville was not included in the 10-city hub list? Not that they would have gotten it, but just not even on the list. Were you surprised at all or no?
I am, because I can't really picture a better
me too
place
to
do this, just with the central location and all the, obviously, the hotels right around the rink, and every team could have their own hotel or however they're going to do it. It surprises me. It really does that it's not in the running for one of the hub cities, but I'm sure there's reasons for that. But it did shock me to hear that they weren't on the list, at least.
Especially since the NHL has been so favorable to our city over the years, right? I mean, basically, you say Nashville to the NHL, and they go, yes. So, you know, I was surprised we're not on. I'd really love to know. Like, I have theories, but I'd love to know the explanation of why they didn't even make the list.
Well, you know, the one thing I think maybe is when I'm just thinking about this talking to you guys is maybe the access to other ice, practice times and all that type of thing. And, you know, just if there's enough places for teams to get set up outside the main arena. I don't know that for certain, but, that could be one of the things. But, I mean, they got the new Ford Ice Center, which is one of the top complexes around. So, it's tough. I'd be interested to hear. I don't know if they'll ever disclose that. I'm sure they'll come back and play, and then, it'll be neither here nor there. But I was surprised to not hear Nashville on the list, for sure.
I certainly gravitated to that theory as well. You've got basically seven sheets of ice, right? You've got the two Ford Ice Centers, you've got Centennial, and you've got Bridgestone. And all of them you're going to have to take a bus to get to. You know, Centennial is easier, but, you know, Antioch and Bellevue, you're going to have to bus out there. And you could say, well, they're trying to keep maybe all that, is contained as much as possible. But I'd love to then to know, okay, then what's the setup of all the other 10 hub cities? I mean, is Columbus got all these available, sheets of ice that players could walk to, or right there by Nationwide Arena? Give me the setup in Pittsburgh. Give me the setup in L.A. I guess that's what I would like to know. What's the setup in Chicago? Like, tell me how the other cities, that was more favorable.
I know. I don't know. It'll be interesting to hear when they, I guess they said they're going to, the next couple weeks here, decide. But, you know, you get a little sneak preview, but I want more. I need to know more. Like, what are we doing on the broadcast? Are we going to be on location? Are we going to be in a room calling the game off a monitor? I need to – come on, Gary. I need details here. So they gave us a little bit, but I'd be very interested to hear, you know, what they say, why Nashville wasn't one of the cities. There's a lot of teams, you know, a lot of places being considered, but I'm sure they've got their reasons.
Chris Mason is with us. So, Mace, we're going to be analyzing this, I'm sure, for the next couple of months, but the matchup with the Coyotes. We've seen the Coyotes master the Predators a few times, and we've seen the Predators get the best of the Coyotes a few times, and it usually depends on where the game is. But now we have a complete neutral site, so this will be a really interesting one to cover, especially with the buildup. We're going to have so much time to look at every single player on the Coyotes roster.
Well, this will be. I mean, this is going to be crazy. And you know, when I look at that team, they've obviously got, you know, some talented players. They've got a great goaltending duo. They work really hard. Defensively, they're a good team. They've got a good penalty kill. They're able to generate offense off of their penalty kill. But you're right, we're going to be able to do a really, you know, deep dive on the Coyotes here, getting ready for this, which is, this is, you know, a lot of times you don't even know until the last 2 days of the season. You know, who you're going to be playing. So right now in this unprecedented best of five series, you know, to see who they're going to be playing, it's going to be crazy. So we got our work to do, Big Bill.
Yeah, but we got time. For sure. Yeah. This is another thing in theory we're all looking at. And Mace, you can probably look back and remember that it was the 1987 they changed the first round from 3 out of 5 to 4 out of 7. And I don't know why specifically it happened, but we know in hockey, even the biggest underdogs can win against the number one seed in a 4 out of 7. But back then there was even less teams. So you had a lot of years in the early 80s where teams that had very poor regular seasons still made the playoffs and in a 3 out of 5 every now and then did beat a powerful first seed. So yeah. It would seem like a 3 out of 5 makes even more of a randomness in a wide open field. And we might see 3 out of 5 in not only the qualifying round, but we know the Predators Coyotes series will be 3 out of 5, but maybe even the first two rounds of the playoffs for time purposes could be 3 out of 5. So think about how wide open that makes it.
Yeah, that's the one that really gets me because, you know, you hear some players talk about they just don't want to ruin the integrity of the game and the playoffs and the Stanley Cup, and that's the one that's tough. And I know they're, you know, the longer it goes, and they said, you know, possibly late July is at the earliest is when they're going to start. So it's going to be tough to, you know, figure out how to do this and do it without, you know, ruining the integrity of the game and having an asterisk on whoever wins this thing, which is, you know, it's a really good possibility that there will be regardless, but I like the best of sevens. Like I for the playoffs, the Stanley Cup playoffs, they got to go to a best of seven, and I really hope they do. I don't know if they will, but again, you know, they're doing everything, they're taking every single thing under consideration. So I respect what they're trying to do, and obviously at the end of the day, we don't have a say in it, and I know I don't, whether we like it or not, but it will be different for sure. But and like you mentioned though, it's up for grabs. Anybody gets hot. You know how teams go on at the beginning of the season, teams that I know for a fact, when I look at them, that they're not going to make playoffs, but they get off to a, you know, a 10-1 start or something like that. That's a big possibility. So you'd never know. It's wide open.
I thought about a guy like, yeah, along those lines, Mace, you're the right person to ask, because when you hit this reset button, you just never know what's going to put a goalie right back in that groove where all of a sudden he's got it and he's not going to relinquish it. You know, every time he goes out there, he's going to give his team a chance to win. I think of a guy like Sergei Bobrovsky, who has a nightmare season, but now everything's reset. He goes back out there. His team's in it. He's the perfect example. You could probably make the argument for any goalie, though, in this tournament that could happen.
Yeah, there's no question. In Florida, that's a dangerous team, too. They got a lot of high-powered offensive guys, and, you know, as you mentioned, Sergei Bobrovsky's, you know, Vezina-caliber goaltender. If he gets hot at the right time, you're looking at, you know, you're looking at a scary team right there, and that could be anybody. And it's going to be very interesting to see. And, you know, same with the Arizona Coyotes. They got two guys. Darcy Kemper's been lights out. Antti Raanta. Those are a couple guys we don't hear about as often. But to me, you know, whoever gets, they get a hot goaltender, or you get your special teams really going early. I think there's an opportunity for this thing to be wide open until you get down to the, you know, to the nitty gritty, I think, with the end of the playoff rounds. But it's going to be very interesting. I know I'll be watching. I watch a lot of hockey anyway, especially during the playoffs. But now I don't think I can miss a game just because these play-in series, the unprecedentedness, I don't even know if that's a word, but of this whole situation, it is going to be nuts.
I was watching the Golden Classic last night, and I know you've been watching them as well. There's another one coming up tomorrow night. Victor Arvidsson is just playing at a blistering pace in these games that we've been watching in the 2017 run. And he hasn't quite had that gear. He'd be the first to tell you this year. And maybe it was the Bortuzzo hit. Maybe it was something that was already bothering before that. He looked like he was starting to come back around when play was halted. He looked more like himself. But I wonder about a guy like him being able to rejuvenate and maybe heal up some things that were maybe keeping him back a little bit. That's pretty exciting to think about.
Oh yeah, the guys that, you know, the guys that were dealing with some sort of injury, and even though you come back and you rehab and you recover and you come, you know, back to play with the team, you're still not 100%. You've lost, you know, a lot of the speed of the game, and you're playing catch up the whole entire rest of the way. And I think for a guy like that, everyone's starting even keel. It's all even up. You know, everyone's starting under the same circumstances. And I think that for him, you know, you just get rejuvenated, because even when you come back and you're having a tough time or whatever, you're just not quite back up to your normal standard of play. It weighs you down mentally. You know, it's like you're carrying around this big heavy weight with you, trying to achieve your best, you know, your best game, and you're still playing catch up. And I think for a guy like him, this is, you know, coming back, and these guys are going to be fired up, ready to go, and everyone's starting over. A guy like Pecorine, you never know. Obviously, we know how well Juice was playing, you know, before the break there. But it's a whole new ball game. You know, they can't wait around. If let's say someone starts, I don't know who's going to start, but let's say someone's in goal and they have a tough game, you got to make that decision right away and switch over and go with a hot hand. So it's going to be very, very interesting. Guy like Matt Duchene, you know, some other guys, he was starting to get his game going as well. But, you know, during the season, it was frustrating at points for, you know, for that those big players, Johansson, Forsberg, all these guys, you know, weren't probably having their best season. So to have this come at this time, I guess, and to be able to just clear your brain and, you know, get back to square one, it's a fresh start for everyone. And I think for the Preds, they got a lot of guys that this could be very good for.
Yeah, and you, Chris Mason, with us, you brought up Pecorine, which is where I was going to go with you, because we talked to Adam Vingan earlier today, and he said that three players that he feels like this stoppage has benefited, Pekka, Victor Arvidsson, and then the other that I'll ask about in a second, Ryan Johansson. But knowing Pekka like you know Pekka, and that there have been parts of this season that obviously haven't been, you know, what we've been used to seeing in the past, he was playing better. To me, he could be one of those weapons that's not really a big secret, but could be a beneficial weapon for the Predators in a playoff format like this.
Oh, yeah. When you have two goaltenders, Vezina caliber goaltender, obviously Vezina winner, and we know Pekka as well as anybody. And then Juuse Saros, young stud, capable of going on big, huge runs, taking down anybody. I mean, that's a 1-2 punch that, you know, I wouldn't want to mess with, if they can get hot. But again, it's just so unknown, because no one's been able to skate or prepare. And now they're, you know, I see guys on social media, they're starting to, you know, to get on the ice in private situations and settings. But, you know, for a guy like Pekka, who just loves the game, and, you know, he understands the situation of, you know, his career and the many opportunities that, or maybe not as many opportunities to take a shot at this thing. I think that this could be a good fresh start for a lot of these guys, especially they're getting away. They're finding a way. They really started to dial in their game, I think, as a team, in terms of playing, you know, the system flawlessly the way that, you know, John Hines wanted it to be done. And I think for Pekka. You never know. I'd be very interested to see what's going to happen, you know, when they all come back and who gets the first crack at the, you know, the first start. And I think, Willie, you know this too. There's been talk of maybe a couple exhibition games potentially before they, yep. they play the best of five.
Yeah, that's out there that they would do that. They would play a couple of exhibition games.
Okay. Well, I mean, you know, I'm sure that
But they didn't say anything about that yesterday, though. They said that the teams that would get a bye, the teams that get a bye, those teams are going to play some exhibition games. In other words,
but Elliot Friedman tweeted that in addition to everything that was put out, that he has heard that the best of five would get a couple of exhibition games.
Okay.
That's weird.
Yeah.
How do you play those games?
Well, that's the thing.
Do you play your real lineup, or do you play your half of your lineup? Who, you know, that's a really interesting thing. Is it a competition between your two goalies to see who starts in game one?
Like, how do you do? You can't, you know, I don't know. It's going to be how long are the training camps? I don't think they've announced that yet. I guess all the dates are still, you know, yet to be determined, but. Man, it's exciting. You know, a lot of people, you know, they just say cancel it and why bother doing this. But I'm intrigued. I'm excited to see how this all plays out, and it's going to be fun times.
Well, and I'm intrigued by it because there's so many unknowns with it that I love that. I mean, that's chaos in my mind, and I think that'll be entertaining. But you know, I mentioned Ryan Johansson, and we've talked a little bit about him lately. But I look at the article he did with Joe Rexrode for The Athletic last week and how open he was to admitting that, you know, things were off with him and that he wasn't living up to his expectations for himself, and he felt like he was letting his teammates down. And then I even go back to our Game 6 Remastered and the interview he did with Darren that was one of the best interviews I've ever seen Ryan Johansson do. And I bring all this up because I just feel like that there is he's awakened, so to speak. There's a, you know, he's rejuvenated, and that is going to be dangerous for any team that faces the Predators if, and I know some of them, it's just words, you want to actually see the action, but I just feel like that Ryan Johansson is going to be dangerous whenever they drop the puck.
Yeah, I do. And you know what? You know what the thing about him that he's really shown, I think? He's done a good job of he's been a playoff performer. He's played when the chips are on the table, and he's played his best hockey. So I think he's a guy that, you know, he can just physically dominate and take over games. So he's a guy that I look to come back with a vengeance. And, you know, they've been sitting there this whole time just chomping at the bit, because I know any time as a player – I've had a bad season that whole summer. My only focus is getting back to try to, you know, prove myself again and try to redeem, you know, put that last tough season behind you. And these guys have a great opportunity to do that, to put the season that might be a tough season. They were trending in the right direction. They probably felt good on the way out. And now with the time to refocus and to salvage, you know, not your best season. I think it's a great opportunity for someone like Ryan Johansson, who's very, very capable of you know, taking his game to dominant levels, you know, with this situation, coming back and playing best of five when the games, you don't have much time to get into a game that, you know, means more than any game you played all season by far. So I think he's a guy that could really, you know, be obviously turn his season around and be a huge benefit and a factor for the Predators if they, you know, if they're going to make a run at this.
As we wrap this up, I do want to say to both of you, I enjoyed watching the virtual broadcast the other night. That was fun.
Oh,
you guys did a good job.
Yeah, it was fun. It was, it was really fun. It's you get into it, I'll tell you. It's doing that game, you know, that made me miss doing what we do even more. So it was that was a good time.
All right, Chris. Well, we appreciate it as always, and we will talk to you next week.
Okay, guys. Take care.
Chris Mason joins us every Wednesday at 1 o'clock. We'll continue this conversation when we come back here on Darren Donick and Chase, ESPN 102.5 The Game.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Victory Lane? Yeah, it's even better with Chumba by my side. Race to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See TNCs 21+. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.